Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me. How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I hope that all of you is having a very Merry Christmas, and that you are walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we all know that this is not His birth month, but this is what man set aside in order to proclaim it. We need to be worshiping Him every day, but especially during this season, because mankind took this season and turned it into actually a pagan holiday and make liars out of us. Most of us that have children, our children grew up through their early years with us lying to them about what this day meant. And about Santa Claus and all. And you know, things like that just not right. But anyway, we're going to be going here this morning, and we're going to be recognizing the things about our Lord and Savior. And what this season should be all about. A lot of us know it. We've heard it before and all. And I was just talking about some of it just here a few days back, but we are going to honor it today as it should be honored. And that's in worshiping our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, if you want, if you'll turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9, we'll get ready here and get started. You know, twice in this one book, there was a prophecy of the Lord's birth. I want you to see this. And Isaiah made this prophecy for a long, long time before the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you turn to chapter 9, and let's begin here, really, with chapter, or verse 2. It says, the people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. They dwell in the land of the shadow of death. Upon them has the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in heaven, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder. The rod of his oppressor as in the day of Midian. Time. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. You know, we're told a lot of things here in this. And in these first 5 verses, talking about the dimness of Israel's rejection was especially prevalent in the northern tribes, especially in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, which would suffer greatly under an Assyrian invasion. And you know, Galilee, pardon me a moment, God promised to send a great light, which is quoted in Matthew 4:15-16, as being fulfilled in Jesus' ministry in Galilee. And the prophet sees that these events as though they were already happening. Thus he predicts the future with certainty as though it had already come to pass. He's prophesying these things as if they had already come to pass, or that they was going on. This is 400 years plus a few years before they would take place. Now, 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. You know, he's prophesying the coming of the Lord there. And when we go back over to Isaiah 53. Let me find a prophecy again with a little more added to it. Now here in 53, beginning with verse 1, says, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. And you know, that prophecy right there is just about as real as you could ever even dream of coming. Isaiah hit his life right there even. Right on point. Right on the head. Now, 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. You know, there is really so much there. And when you get in to the footnotes on this prophecy right here, and you go looking at what is written there, there's an awful lot there. Now, I want to give you some of it. We may not go through it all. It is quite lengthy because we've had a lot of things said there. Provide a detailed description of his suffering, the prophet used a series of vertebrae with an assumed subject, the servant. Despised is one of the verbs. Man means actually to disdain, to scorn. Now, and rejected. He's been abandoned of men. And he is further described as a man of sorrow, severe pains, and acquainted with grief, injuries. We know all about his injuries. And because of his severe personal suffering, we hid, as it were, our faces from him. The description of Christ's suffering in the New Testament gospel clearly indicates the severity of his physical suffering, the agony in the garden, his battered face, the severe scourging and the torture of the crucifixion itself. Gives substantiatory atonement. He's clearly taught. He has borne our griefs, spiritual sickness. The New Testament said that he himself bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Thus he was stricken, smitten, and afflicted. We, mankind in general, thought he was judged of God, but he was wounded pierced through for our transgressions, for our sins, not his. They was ours. And the verb bruise translates meaning to be utterly crushed. Our iniquities means mortal evil, chastisement, correction, or discipline of our peace refers to that which procured our peace with God. And it says, with his stripes, with his wounds, we are healed. We are to be healed or mended or cured. It refers to our spiritual condition being made whole. In Isaiah, the term is always used of spiritual healing and forgiveness. But we know also that as it carries through the New Testament, it also means a physical healing as well. Now, we're going to go now over to Luke. Chapter 2. We're going to see just how close things comes to being as they were prophesied back in Isaiah. You know, Isaiah gave us, he gave us it. An awful good look there at how things were and how things were going to be. Now we need to take a look now at the happening itself and see just how near and how right the prophecy of the prophet came. Now, it says, and there came, verse 2, chapter 2, verse 1, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. You know, God really knows what he's doing and how to get everything done and in line. Now, he had this done through Caesar because everybody was to go back to where they were from because besides being taxed, it was also a census to be taken. So everybody had to return back to their birthplace, their home. Well, Jesus was supposed to be, because it prophesied that he was to be born in Bethlehem in order to get God where he was to be born that's where Joseph and all was from Bethlehem. They were now living in Nazareth. So they had to pick up and go back to Bethlehem, exactly where the Lord Jesus was to be born. Here in verse 2. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Now, five, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. We know that they made that trip on foot and by donkey, because it's a good trip, especially her, that far along in her pregnancy. Six. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. You see, she's there until she's going to be delivered of this child. Seven, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Everything according to prophecy. And yet this prophecy is not done. Eight, and the glory of his birth is sure not done. There and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Nine, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore open. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You see, this is really the things he came to bring. Now, 15, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Now, what this angel had told them, they found. This was a way of knowing that what had been told them was true. Now, 18. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. You see, the news is spreading about this young child and the things that had been told even unto the shepherds. Now they are telling the children. Now we go to 8 days later. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus. Now, actually, that's not the name that it really was given. This is the English version of that name, because the name he was really given was Yeshua, which means in English, meant Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. 23. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opened the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. This one had been told that he would not die until he would see the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, which was circumcised, 28, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let us thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. You see the statements he's making? These statements are exactly why the Lord Jesus Christ was even born, was to bring salvation unto man. 31. Which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to be lightened the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. You see, he also understands that this is going to bring light not only to the Jewish people, but also to the Gentiles. They're going to be changing. Now, 33. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Now, they're marveling at the things that's being spoken about him. And Simon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and raising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thought of many hearts may be revealed. He's letting her know she's also going to be having some pain. Inward pain. Not physical, but inward pain. Now, 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. In other words, 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayer night and day. She stayed in that temple. Now, and she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Now, 39, and when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, I'm going to stop there because we'll be going into him as a young boy of about 12 years of age here next. And this today was to be about his birth. Even though we know that it was not the month of December, but we can still honor him on this day for sending him into the world to make a way for you and I to be able to live our lives clean, holy, and to be able to make heaven home. Think about all these things as we go through this day. And I pray that you'll be with me again this evening at 6 p.m. And we'll be back in to his word. And still worshiping with him each and every day. Not just this day, but each and every day to live our lives to his word, to his will, and his way. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, I close your word, Father. I give you thanks for this word It was the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And Father, help us to grow in knowledge, to grow in health, to grow in strength, and keep us safe through this day. And bring us back together again this evening at 6 p.m. And Father, I am praying for Israel. We know that they are those out there that wants to destroy Israel. They want to wipe Israel completely off of the map, killing every Jew. But it's not only those that they want, because in their minds, once they would get them, then they aim to come after those that love you, the Christian, that child of God. But we know, Father, that we as your children, we stand with Jerusalem and Israel and its people. And we know, Father, that that is the winning side, because they are yours. And we know that they all will not be destroyed. Now, and we know that they will come out victor in this, Father. In this land of ours, this land, Father, that is filled with so much evil. We're praying for those that brought this evil upon this land to be removed from their office, Father, and replaced with those that are your children, that love you, love the Lord Jesus, loves the church, loves your people, and loves this land, and will work with us to bring this land to repentance and to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray for all of those that will make this ministry a part of their lives. Many of them, Father, I do not know of, have never met. Because, Father, I have them that listen around the world, Father. And I pray for each and every one of them. And for those, Father, that are close, Dennis Lee, James Terry, Amy, Tom, Jacob, Bobby and Willie, my wife, Sue Branson, Debbie, and Bear, Father, myself, through this day in health and safe, and see that we, Father, can be back together again this evening at 6 p.m. This, Father, is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Everyone, as you go through this day, keep the Lord Jesus Christ in your mind and in your heart. And his word. Have a great holiday. Bye-bye now.